Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Connor Rogers is here. He's hosting the show. Cool little jacket you got on there, too. Amit did hear us making fun of him in his wardrobe last time. And we're going to do it again because Robinson's not as cool as you. He does not have your wardrobe. Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody? The great Amit Farid is here, but he's still not as coolly dressed as Connor Rogers.
I don't have his official wardrobe. Yep. I don't have his wardrobe. That's all right.
He doesn't have your great flowing hair and your smart glasses that you wear.
He kind of does have the hair.
He does have the hair. You're right.
He doesn't have the glasses.
He's got it all.
But he doesn't have the glasses.
He doesn't have the glasses. He can never replicate Drop his IQ 10 points because of that. What's up, everybody? It's Chris Sims. Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Amit Farid is here. We are always happy he is here. He is my favorite captain of the ship. Okay?
I'm learning it's just whoever's sitting in this chair you say that about.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Go. I'm having a wandering eye. And we have the great Jay Croucher.
Jay Croucher,
who fucking made fun of my podcast and shit on me the other day on his damn show.
Really?
Yeah, he's making fun of my buttoned-up thing.
I was confused by that.
Yeah. It's a play on words. I know. You're smart. You know, you didn't get that one?
It's very... Art house. It's confusing. Yeah, it rattled me.
You know, I'm always buttoned up, except when I wear this. Yeah, as you can tell, I unbuttoned this. PFT commenter saw me in this at the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. Did I tell you this story?
No.
PFT commenter, I'm in, in the hotel, in the casino area, right? We're at the Wynn Hotel. And he's walking by, and we're kind of in a cluster of like NFL people, and like me, and you know, it's like one of those moments where it's like, holy shit, this player's here, this media person's there. Whoa, just like we're all walking by each other in the hallway, right? And I see him, and he didn't have his glasses on. I was like, damn. I was like, PFT commenter, I haven't ever seen you with your glasses on. I had this shirt on, and he went, I've never seen you with your top button unbuttoned before. And I was like, touche, you bastard.
Yeah. Two guys out of character.
Yeah, two guys out of character. But that's why we do it. You know, it's unbuttoned, but my mouth is unbuttoned for this. Right?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah,
there's
so
a lot of
like,
okay? Sometimes we don't understand everything that comes out of your mouth either, as you know. Right?
It's Cody Mark. Here we are. Yeah. It's the one-year anniversary of Cody Mark essentially being a first-round pick. Yes, that was it.
The puzzled look on your face.
Oh, the puzzled. Like I was in panic.
Yeah. To be fair, not many Australians would have said the word Cody Mark ever, really.
Right.
So it doesn't usually get put out there into the universe.
Yes.
So it would make sense that you would not understand what I was saying about that.
Right. What do you find, actually, just while we're on the subject, what do you find the hardest word or things to say here over, or you're like, why do they say it like that or whatever, right? Is you got anything there that just
the,
like...
The one thing that I lapse into it sometimes as an Australian. So in Australia, we don't say afternoon, we say arvo. And sometimes I'll just say, like, I'll see you in the arvo to an American. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? What is the arvo?
The arvo.
Yeah, the arvo.
Like
the
A-V-O? Like, or...
A-R-V-O.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's one. Arvo. Also, we call a two-week period a fortnight. You guys don't do that here.
I know the video game. Yeah. I know the video game.
It's like an England thing. Right? Yeah. It feels like
a fortnight.
They just said
a fortnight's 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's what it is in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that.
So there's that. But... COVID was very tough for me, not because of the virus, but because I had to wear a mask. I had to wear a Cody mask.
Yeah.
And the combination of my accent and the mask really amplified.
Horrible.
Just no one understood it.
Yeah, that's right. I need a little lip reading. I can't always understand. Yeah. All right. Good. That's good. But yes, it is the 1 year anniversary to where he said Cody Mark could go at the end of the first round. And I was like, oh shit. I didn't watch Cody Mark. Somehow I missed him.
You had looked at 300 players. You were like, not
like,
one
what?
Of them was Cody Mark.
Mark? I was literally like, Cody, Mark. Let me bullshit my way through these next 3 minutes and talk about a guy I don't know. Holy crap.
All right. Did not go in the first round.
He did not. Early second.
Early second.
Right? Yeah. He was one of those guys that's on the fringe. Like, hey, we got a handful of those guys this year. Those O-linemen, those players. The end of the first round is going to be, is it going to be a teams that trade up or is it going to be teams that trade down and acquire more picks, right? Yeah. Because I think some of those teams there are going to go, wait, these aren't like big-time first-round talents that are available at the end of the first round. Guys like Cody Mauch or these linemen that are we've talked about that are fringe end of the first, receivers that are end of the first, you know, top of the second. I think that's what we're going to see there, and it's going to be that type of guy.
Do you have a guy? Well, let's just get your guy out. Do you have someone who we're not hearing or no? Is there no Cody Mauch?
There's no real Cody Mauch this year for me, but I do think it is interesting, the end of the first round, the idea that someone may trade back to get a quarterback, just because we have seen that, like Lamar Jackson went 32nd, just to get that extra year as a first-round pick, with now just that being more favorable to teams. So I would think that, like, a bet that I really like, and we'll get into some of these, but, like, over 4.5 quarterbacks in round one, and I think that plays into it, the fact that you can trade back, because I think we will see 5 QBs in round one.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think I still think there's a chance we see 6.
Yep.
I do. And that, you know, to the point, and I was actually just talking about this with Pete, and to your point here, I think it's a when I did my mock draft, right, I thought about, right, should I have, like, Denver or the Raiders trade out, right, and get into the 20s and then take the quarterback there, right? But what I get to in that scenario is going, wait, these are two teams that need quarterbacks badly, right? And what if one of these other teams doesn't get a quarterback early on in the draft, right? And now they're going, wait, we're looking to make that move. That's where I come to, like, Denver or the Raiders. You know, hey, sure, maybe you could trade back and still get a Penix or a Bo Nix or something like that. But how far back? And then what point are you risking, like, what he's saying? Okay, maybe the Giants do want a quarterback, but they didn't get somebody at 6 or whatever else, and now they're going, wait, we want to get back in the first round and get somebody. Mm-hmm. And now you're risking it if you're Denver or the Raiders going, wait, we traded back, and now you might have nobody? That's where I ended up keeping them, you know, at 11 and 13 and 12 and all of that, because I'd be worried about that in that quarterback conversation, to your point there.
Yep. I think the most interesting thing about the draft, in a way, is what Denver, Minnesota, and the Raiders are going to do, because there's this sense, like, and they're promoting it out there, oh yeah, we're fine with Jarrett Stidham and Sam Darnold and Aiden O'Connell. And I just don't think that's what's going to happen in the end.
No,
like,
these,
particularly Minnesota, like, that team is constructed to potentially make a run to the NFC title game if they get something better at quarterback, with how well their defense played, with having a great O-line, having Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in his second year. So I think that those teams, I would just be surprised. Like, I would guess the most likely outcome is maybe, like, one of those three guys is the starter heading into week one, and instead, you know, we are seeing something different at those positions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was walking around Eugene, Oregon yesterday. I was out there doing some prep work for a Big Ten season. I had not been out there yet, and so I took the opportunity to go out there. They're doing spring practice, and so I asked around a little bit in that building. I was like, what do you think? Bo Nix, you know, where do you, what NFL teams have been poking around? Denver Broncos have definitely been poking around.
Yep, definitely.
Minnesota Vikings,
right.
Atlanta Falcons a little bit, and I don't know how that would work necessarily, but
Atlanta would be one of the teams we're talking about. Yeah. He's on the board at 28. Maybe we'll trade up and get him and have our successor for Kirk Cousins after, right? Yeah. That's what you'd have to be worried about if you're the team that has those guys on the radar and you trade down and you go, wait, is there somebody we're not thinking of here that might trade up and be looking for the future a little bit, right? But, you know, yeah, that conversation, I agree with you. You know, one, they need guys, right? Sean Payton, I mean, he's already stated, we got to get the next one right. He said that at the combine. They're taking a quarterback. It's just where and who is it that they like, right? Those are the things we don't quite know right now. I think if you listen to the masses, most people think Denver are hot on J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. Those are their two guys. We'll see where it goes, and, you know, we'll get into some more of these conversations as we go through.
So,
here.
And by the way, I took a red eye back.
Damn.
Fresh off the red eye right now, so dedicated to this podcast.
Really? Okay, you got Connor Rodgers on that one, all right?
See,
you are more dedicated.
When has he ever taken a red eye to be on
Seriously,
this podcast?
What a fucking slacker you are, Connor.
So, Jay, and if you don't know Jay, and you should know Jay, too, Jay is the betting expert. You know, he set the lines for many years and still does. If people find out where Jay is thinking, the line moves.
Right.
So we have Jay, and we did this last year, too, to get his thoughts on the players, where they're going to go, the number of quarterbacks in the first round offensive. So we'll get to all those questions here in a second. Chris, we also want to get in this podcast.
Yeah.
You've put all your rankings out there to the world.
Right.
You've got the clicks that you wanted, right? Are you happy? You happy now? You got all your clicks.
Right. Yeah, that's all I do. I just button my top button and swear and talk about football. That's all I do. That's what they said I do.
So, but you have been getting feedback from all the front office people that the coaches that perhaps some players that on some of these guys.
I actively looked for feedback more this year. I will say that, too.
So some of what you've learned could inform Jay in what he's about to say. So can we start with a couple of things that have struck you on what you've learned
sure,
so far?
Sure.
I think one of the big names is Drake May.
Right.
It's like Drake May, you're lower on than most people. We'll get into where he is. Where even is he right now projected to go? Do we know?
Still projected to go third.
Third. Okay.
Right.
If you were a GM, he would be more closer to the third round.
Well, not that far down, but he's a guy that I look at as a project, right? Again, a guy that I think needs to actually sit a few years. There's things about his game that need polish, fixing. And as I'm not sure some of the things that I think need fixing or polishing can be fixed, right, with some of his quarterback mechanics that I worry about. So there is that. Drake May, as I kind of told you guys before the draft or before this the show today, right? He's one of the few people that I have no clue or no feel, right? No clue or no feel. As I've said to you, and we'll talk about some of the other guys where, I hear things or whatever. The people in my world, nobody has Drake May way up there. Nobody. Now, again, I know I don't talk to all 32 teams and have that intimate relationship where everybody's going to give me that type of info there. But, again, I have nobody that I know in my world that has Drake May in the top 5 or top 10 combo, right?
Are any of these people?
And I ask them, too, do you know anybody, right, that you're friends with? And I get the same answer, right? Now, as I said before, I've heard New England likes him. I heard early on that they didn't love it at 3, though, right? I know the Giants are in this little bit of a mold of we would like to develop our young quarterback. I know that thought is percolating through their building, right? Daboll wants his own guys. Joe Shane wants his own guy. Develop that guy. I still think that's crazy. And I go, look at Matt Nagy. He tried to save another year with himself for the Justin Fields draft pick, and they still fired his ass when they didn't do good, right? I don't agree with that thought, but that's all I get with Drake May. And again, I don't know. Are people laying in the weeds? Certainly. It has a little to me what we were talking about a minute ago of the Will Levis feel over last year, where there's this, I feel like teams are saying we like him because they're hoping some team does like him. They want to trade up for him and make a move for him. But again, I'm not rooting against the guy. I hope he proves me wrong and all that. I just don't know of anybody that has him up there where DraftKings has him or the betting world has him.
Yeah, I think to your point about Levis, like this time last year, Will Levis was favored to go in the top 4.
Right.
And he falls out of the first round. Right. And could Drake May be that guy? I would say the red flag with May, just looking at betting markets as well, is that not that long ago, it was like, all right, is it Caleb Williams or Drake May number 1? And Caleb pulls away. And then it became, all right, is it Jaden Daniels or Drake May at number 2? Jaden Daniels pulls away.
Right.
Like, he's clearly sliding in the estimations of some people.
Right.
And it is really, like, all of this stuff is calculated guesswork. Like, right now he's minus 290 to go third. That doesn't mean he's a lock to go third. Like, he could go anywhere.
Right. He's a tough one to call.
Look at those odds, how they've changed. It was minus 180, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, for Drake May to be the second overall pick when it opened up in early March. He was still the favorite. And now overwhelming favorite, Jaden Daniels, to go number 2.
I just had more people talk positively about J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix more than I have Drake May. And again, I'm not saying they're not out there, and I'm not saying I'm right. I know I've been wrong before and too and all that, but I am telling you what I do know is what I've heard from people that, as you know and whatever, I know a lot of freaking people in the league, and I don't hear that.
And they love telling you you're wrong, too.
A lot of the times they do. I mean, they do. They certainly don't. I've told people that's how I put myself out there. I always do, even in my conversations, so they know where I am, so then they can correct me or whatever. And, that's just one to me that's very intriguing, right? Usually, guys like me, you start to get a feel like, oh, I heard this team really likes him, and this guy told me that he knows a guy there, and they're hot on him, and that's just one. He's one I, I haven't heard. That's all I'm saying.
So are we thinking now, so Caleb Williams is a lock for number one. Although I did mention to Jay beforehand, it's like minus 20,000. Would you put $20,000 to win $100 that Caleb Williams will be the number one pick?
I mean, I personally would. Yeah. I think the only, and it's kind of a little grim to talk about the ways in which he doesn't go number one, frankly. But I mean, it really is. He kind of just needs to stay alive until the draft.
Right.
And then he will go number
24 hours. 24 more hours.
Would agree with that.
Which, to be fair, if I was pricing that market, he's definitely minus 20,000 is good odds for Caleb Williams to stay alive in the next 24 hours. Like, it's kind of hard to just drop off the face of the earth in the next 24
hours. Jake could do insurance as
well. He's known forever. We've all known forever. He's acted like he's known forever. The Bears haven't really put much of a smoke screen up. He went through a pro day to do a perfunctionary pro day to be like, let me have USC next to me and number one pick, and they want him. And he didn't even try to do anything to impress people that day. Yeah. Right? It's been so in the books for so long, you know, we can move on with that conversation. So,
but two in the books now, it seems like, Jaden Daniels. Because when you came out with your rankings and you first said, I think Jaden Daniels, I mean, that was still at the time when Drake May was projected to go number two. But I feel like now we've gotten to near lock situation.
See, I can sway the markets, too.
There you go.
Like, how close are we to seeing? I mean, Jaden Daniels is just, what was it, minus 475? But that almost seems just
Caleb
as much of a
Williams,
lock.
Like you were saying, I mean, it's lock, boom. Yeah. Like, he's got to have to fall off Earth, or the Earth crust is going to have to separate.
But
Detroit.
At that point, they're not going to collect the bet.
Right,
so you don't have to worry about it.
You never know. You never know about these betting places. You never know.
In Australia, you can't do this in America. America is much more civilized, apparently. But in Australia, you can bet on aliens to invade.
Oh,
at which point it's like, well, if the aliens have invaded, you've got bigger problems than trying to collect your bets at that point.
A lot of videos out there that say they've invaded. I hope they're paying up. I mean,
dude, give me your $100. The aliens are coming.
I think the Jaden Daniels is close to a lock. Right, that's one where I've heard enough there. Right, they messed up with their Top Golf thing and all that and bringing them all in. I didn't love that, right? We were laughing about this before. I'm not mad at the Top Golf and bring guys in and see how they are and do all that. I'm just saying it's weird to have it at the quarterback position, right? And that
at
obviously
number two in the draft.
Right. Yeah. The guy you're trying to, hey, it's your first time meeting you. We're going to bring you in the building, but we're going to bring four other people we're thinking about dating too, right? I mean, that and hey, we want to give you the keys to the organization, but we're dangling the keys in front of the other people too and not giving you our full, you know, attention here. That's just odd. That's my only thing. I don't have any other problem with that, with another position or another draft picks or whatever else, but that doesn't happen at quarterback. I still think it's Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, Jaden Daniels, we know he's been trying to go to the Raiders. There's no doubt about that. The Raiders have called Washington. They're going to have to trade way more than they're, I think, willing to give up to do that. I think that, yes, Washington, and this is things I do know with people I trust and all that, that yes, it's still going to be Jaden Daniels at number two, barring something just absolute crazy happening.
So then it gets interesting at number three. So that's when the draft will maybe begin out there. You in your mock draft, Chris, had the Minnesota Vikings trading up for J.J. McCarthy at number three. J.J. McCarthy right now is pick 5.5. The under is minus 145. The over is plus 115. Curb Your Analytics says, should the Vikings trade up to three if and when Williams and Daniels are off the board? Unlike the 49ers a few years ago, they're not a quarterback away. I think they should keep both of their first-rounders, build the team. Besides, they can likely get McCarthy, Nix, or Penix at 11.
I do think there's a chance that, I mean, those guys all fall there, right? I think this could be a year where I wouldn't be shocked if it kind of went that way, right? What was the year we had where I was thinking about the other day where we all thought it was going to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then all of a sudden we were sitting there and like it didn't happen. It'll come to me in a second. But either way, like I'm – if they think McCarthy's the guy and the guy that could be the future, I'm not mad at them moving up to number three. As you've always heard me say, I'm never mad. If you're sold that this guy's your guy and you want him and you don't want to lose him to anybody else and there's a little bit of a drop-off after the next guys, right? That to me, and he fits that offense, you know, I would have no problem with that. But, yeah, I do think there's a chance that Nix or even maybe a Drake May or even a Michael Penix are there on the board for them at 11 to take. I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with J.J. McCarthy, he seems like the guy where there's the biggest divide between – what casual football fans think and what the league seems to
think. Exactly,
because
right.
There are people, like, just casual kind of college football fans, like, how is J.J. McCarthy going in the first round? I think that's a natural thing just because it was a run-heavy offense.
And right,
he wasn't
the
asked
stats
to do
don't match the eye of...
But
right.
There seems to be enough smoke that, yeah, there is a real chance that he could go either 3 to New England or that someone trades up to get him at 3. So I think the difficult thing is with New England, like, surely they just have to take a quarterback in this draft.
Yes.
Because,
right.
And I know there's been some chatter that maybe they wouldn't, but at some point you just have to regress. Like, what's logical? Like, they cannot go into next season without a quarterback. And it's just a question of whether that's Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, or they're getting Penix.
I'm
or
with you. That's the point I've made all week. Yeah. Like, I'm right there with you. I said that on Monday on PFT. I said it on the podcast, too. Like, they have Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappi.
Yeah,
they're definitely getting a quarterback, right? It's just where are they doing it and who are they doing it, right? And, you know, again, I would think J.J. McCarthy would be their cup of tea. I mean, J.J. McCarthy to me is like the younger brother of Tom Brady, right? You know, I said this earlier this morning to Mike. I mean, first off, he's got an incredible arm. Yeah. He's a better athlete than people think.
That's what I think. Both those things, too. The athlete, for sure. And he ran more so the previous year than this last year with Michigan. I think they tried to protect him a little bit more. But I think he goes into the league with one of the strongest arms already in the NFL. Am I wrong?
It's up there. It's up there. It is. And when you watch him on film, it's all power throws, right? It's not like – if there was one thing I'd go, I wish I saw more of, it'd be like, can he touch it over that guy, the linebacker, 15 yards down the field and drop it in, right? Yep. You know, but go ahead. I know you were going to say something there.
Also the most zen quarterback ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Just very calm. Right. Loves it. He loves his meditation before the game. Seems to have his head in a good spot. Lots of things going in JJ's direction.
He's one of the – I've said to Floria the other day, I said, with all due respect to my daughter's boyfriend, J.J. McCarthy's the guy you want to come date your daughter, right? Yeah. He really is, right? Like, sorry, daughter's boyfriend, but this is J.J. McCarthy. Look how handsome he is. He went to Michigan. He's about to make all this money. He's got all this shit together. Sorry, Charlotte's boyfriend. You don't have that yet. We would take J.J.
Something to aspire for.
Right.
So another question then, and we've talked about him already. Penix and Nix, and it seems like they're almost interchangeable. The two older quarterbacks have played a ton in college. Their skill sets are not, you know, interchangeable. Penix is favored to go before Nix. Penix minus 360, Nix plus 280. You've liked Nix more than Penix from the get-go, even though you like Penix a lot.
Yeah, I got them all in the same tier there, right?
And in your mock draft, you had Nix going to Denver at 12 and then Penix at 13 to the Raiders. If you were to handicap this one, Jay, how would you see these two quarterbacks?
I agree with Chris's order. Like, I think ultimately, for all the smoke, I just think all these three teams from 11 to 13 are going to end up taking quarterbacks. Like, it just makes too much sense. And yeah, maybe a team, maybe Minnesota trades up to 3 and New England trades down. But I just think that those three teams who are currently slated for 11 to 13 and New England, I just think they're all going to take quarterbacks.
Yes.
It just makes too much sense.
Is it just going to be there or where they are? That's the only question.
Exactly.
Right?
And then the weird team in terms of quarterbacks in the first round is the Giants, where I think there is real scope. Even though they need a quarterback, I kind of think Daniel Jones probably has a bit more pedigree than the existing guys on those other teams. And maybe they do just take a wide receiver.
I know.
I think they're the wild card in the top 13 of whether they go do they end up with Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy or something, or do they just go the more conventional route, I think what people are expecting, and take a receiver?
Yeah, I know. That's what I want as a Giant fan, right? I want Malik Nabers or something like that. Yeah. But I do think that there's, people in the league that think the Giants want to draft a quarterback and groom him the way this current staff wants to groom him, right? And they are. They're the wild card as well. Penix, right? What I can tell you, right? I love Penix. I mean, Penix is made to throw in the pocket and throw 15 and 20 and 30 yard lasers all over the football field. Has a really damn good arm too, right? I think it'd be up there as far as like rivaling JJ or Caleb Williams for pure power. I think it's that. Now, I will say though, in the league, right, Penix is not as universally loved with everybody, right? Some people who worry about his body, some people do worry about his feet, Some people do worry that he throws off his back foot all the time, right? I would say that of all the people I talk to and know and all that, right? You know, there's some that, hey, they love Penix, there's no doubt. There's others that are like, eh, there's some things that bother me. Bo Nix is one that I get feedback of, really positive with everybody, right? Man, he can really play. Damn, I like his tape. Damn, has a lot of good throws and decisions. Hmm. So, again, now it might not be as sexy as Penix throwing lasers and, you know, Caleb Williams throwing a sidearm 40-yard throw across the field. But I think he's viewed highly. Now it's just about, yeah, who takes him, where takes him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, Denver would certainly be the team I would look at to go with Bo Nix.
Melcor23, a homie, has tweeted into us, and he has a pretty good sleeper team for Bo Nix. Says, my sleeper for Bo Nix is the Saints. Mm. Does that not make any sense for am I on to something?
Yeah, he is. Or am I?
Or.
But yeah, I don't. The Saints would be one of those few teams out there, like maybe the Rams people too, that would go, they could be an outside chance quarterback team looking for the future, right? You know, I could see them certainly throwing around those ideas and being a part of those, that conversation there, Melcor 23.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
So, Jay, so riddle me this. So it's 4.5. This is according to DraftKings here, Pete, on the 4.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. So DraftKings, 4.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. If you want to take the over, you can do that, but that's minus 310. You want to take the under, that's plus 240. Sims has got, you know, six quarterbacks going in the top 13 in the draft, let alone the first round. What am I supposed to do with a bet that's presented to me like that?
So it's not the most appetizing to bet minus 310, but right. I would still bet minus 310. I just think that we have four quarterbacks we're extremely confident are going in the first round.
Right.
In, obviously, Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May will go in the first round, and JJ McCarthy.
Right. Slam dunks.
You just need one of Penix or Nix to go, and I think they will probably both go in the first round. And the good thing there is that I do think you have this backstop where if somehow they do slide past 13, if they slide past Seattle at 16, I do think someone could trade back into the end of the first round and end up taking them. But, yeah, it's interesting with the Saints and Knicks, because I think everyone has just seen, you know, Derek Carr is there and he is the guy and he is the answer. Like, Derek Carr, I mean, Daniel Jones 2 years ago was just as good as Derek Carr was, and everyone thinks that the Giants absolutely need a new quarterback. Like, I don't think that Derek Carr has to be, you know, completely ironed in as the guy forever in New Orleans.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly the point. That's exactly right. Let alone it was an underwhelming year last year. Yep. It's been 2 years in a row of underwhelming play, right, from Derek Carr. Yep. The Raiders got rid of him because they were like, damn, it wasn't that good, and we're not going to pay you $40 million, right? And, yeah, the Saints last year, I mean, how many times are we on here on Sunday night going, gosh, dink and dunk, these receivers they got, we want more, it's so underwhelming, blah, right? So I'm they're seeing that too. I'm with you. The Denver thing with the Bo Nix situation or the quarterback situation in general, where it gets dicey with them too, you know, I could see them wanting to acquire more picks because they have no second round pick. You're right. So there's that. But I also, you know, think that that gives them less wiggle room, and they better not play with fire a little bit. That's where I'm like, man, they want to trade down to 27 or 28, right? I mean, that's where I feel like it's a little dicey because you could get jumped that way.
So I want to get into the wide receivers next here,
yeah,
because the odds are quite interesting to me there. But Jay, just pull back a little bit here. We talked about that last bet and that you could 4.5, but you're not getting the great money back if you bet the over on that. How has betting the draft changed over the last few years from when you were setting the lines and reading all the rumors and trying to stay ahead of the market, which seems like an impossible task?
Seriously.
Especially 24 hours to go until the draft. Like, how has betting this event changed?
So I think the biggest thing is that, like, these numbers right now that we're looking at, like, they don't represent truth. Like, it doesn't – just because Drake May is, like, minus 290 to go number 3 overall, that doesn't mean he's going 3 overall. And the biggest thing is that, like, just limits for these markets have just progressively gone down. Like, a couple of years ago, if you wanted to bet – I'm going to bet to win $30,000 on Trayvon Walker going 1, you could do that. Now, if you want to bet on J.J. McCarthy to go 3 overall, you get to win like $500 or something. So just books have gotten a bit more conservative on that front, and that means that it's just harder to price these markets, and they move off of air. Like, if someone is trying to have $30,000 on Trayvon Walker going 1, he's probably going 1 because someone knows something. And now there's just not as much money in the pool, so not as much liquidity to get to accurate prices. So the prices move really aggressively. Like, Jaden Daniels a couple days ago went back into minus 115 to go second. It's like, what is that? Is someone just playing pot chicken with the market so they can get a better price on Daniels? So I just wouldn't read too much into this. And what these markets move off ultimately, like, it's information. Like, it's people hearing stuff around the league and then betting off it. It's not like you're running an algorithm and being like, this team's tendencies are this. It's just purely like, what are you hearing from people?
So, that, I mean, it feels like, I swear, I mean, I'm not trying to pat my own back, right? I swear, sometimes I feel like I make statements and I look at the market, right? The other day I was saying, I was told, as I was on the show for PFT, right, I was talking about Washington at 2. I had somebody in the know go, if it's not Jaden Daniels, it won't be Drake May at 2, right? I said that, and later that day, that went on. I was like, man, did they just listen to people and certain people, and they think, oh, he might know, this knows, and that's what it goes off of? I mean, it seems like that to a degree. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but there's just been instances I've seen it across.
When you were setting the line, were you listening to what Chris Sims said?
Yeah. I mean, all insiders, like,
they
everything
do,
that comes out. Like, if Daniel Jeremiah or someone does a mock draft, and he has someone going, like, in a surprising spot, the market will move off of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it works.
Right.
And that's the thing is, like, with your typical NFL game markets, like, say the Chiefs were favored by 2 points over the Bills, and Chris told me, like, no, the Bills should be 7-point favorites. I'd be like, well, you're wrong, because there is so much money in this market that we get to truth and we get to a reliable number. But if you tell me that, like, Drake May should not be minus 290 to go third overall, I'd say, well, you're probably right, because you know more about me than this, because you're more plugged into the league. So it really is just an information game.
Yeah, information, public perception. Yep. And then I guess so you're telling me, too, too, is that the sports books are protecting themselves a little bit more now because of the inside information, I guess, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, so it's just lower limits, so the prices, they move aggressively. Like, this stuff's going to bounce around all over the place. A day before the draft last year, Tyree Wilson was the favorite to be the first defensive player drafted.
Right.
And then it was Will Anderson, and it seemed like it wasn't even close.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it just moves all over the place.
Yeah. So last week, and Pete's put this in here, Bill Belichick, while on the Pat McAfee show, said that all draft rumors are agent-driven until the week of the draft. That's when teams finally begin to leak info themselves. Is that something that you were aware of? Does it even matter? Does something like that matter, where this information is coming? I mean, ultimately, you don't know sometimes, and so you just have to react to the news that when it comes out there.
Yeah, I think the thing with that is, like, say if Minnesota, if they want to draft Michael Penix, for example, isn't it in their interest to leak publicly that they don't want to draft Michael Penix? Like, I heard some crazy things about the Giants and Kayvon Thibodeau that year, that they really didn't like him, and they ended up taking him. So I just, that stuff, unless you're hearing directly from a source that you really trust, that stuff, like, you know, things that get floated on podcasts by people who aren't necessarily in the know, like, I just, sifting through that stuff is really difficult. Like, you really need to have a reliable source.
You got to take it with a grain of salt, definitely. And I think more times than not, it goes on with what you're saying, and then every now and then it's put out there because they want to inform and get the public ready for the guy and garner the excitement, right? That's what I feel like is happening with pick number 4, right? with the Cardinals and Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And I know we're going to talk about that anyways here in a minute, but it just kind of works seamlessly with that right there, too. That feels like you read things out in Arizona and what they're doing. The team is almost framing. Like, he's Larry Fitzgerald Jr. That's who we're drafting here, right? That, to me, is like the other side of the story. Yep. More times than not, it goes on what you're saying.
Sure.
But every now and then, they try to set it to set expectations and get people excited for this awesome guy we're going to have. Yeah. So jump on now, right?
Yep. And what I will say is that the Giants, you know, maybe were just telling you they didn't like Kayvon Thibodeau back then, but now they probably don't. So now, I think now it's like that is a true statement.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
That actually might be more close to the truth.
I think the other thing, too, is that sometimes things get leaked, and it's clearly in the interest of the player that it gets leaked. Like, there was a lot of J.J. McCarthy going to buzz a couple of weeks ago. It's like, who, if I was to put money on who was leaking that, probably JJ's agent, right? It's a drama with the, JJ McCarthy. You guys thought he was going 10 or 11? Well, it looks like he might be
had
going
one conversation with the Commanders. The Commanders are like, hey, we're having some problems with Jaden Daniels. The agent calls a few people. It's like, hey, we got a chance to go number two, right? And it all takes off from there.
So, Chris, you brought it up as far as wide receivers drafted. And in fact, DraftKings has the first non-quarterback drafted odds right now, and that is a wide receiver. In fact, the first two are wide receivers here. It's Marvin Harrison at minus 1,000. Larry Fitzgerald Jr., and then it's Malik Nabers at plus 700. And so, Jay, looking at those numbers, I mean, those are pretty pretty secure odds by DraftKings that Marvin Harrison, eventually, this does not even say that the Cardinals are going to do it, but eventually, when it's a non-quarterback, it's going to be Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, and that's been fairly consistent throughout. I know there's been some Malik Nabers buzz. There was some Roma Dunze buzz for a time, but it always has felt like Arizona and Marvin, that he will ultimately beat the guy. I think that is fairly locked in. I think where it could get really weird is at five, where five is, I think, maybe the turning point. After three is a turning point of sorts, and then five is probably the next one.
I'm with you. Agree with you all the way there. When they need a receiver, we know that. You can just look at their roster. They got to do that. We've talked about Marvin Harrison Jr. is really good, right? Not my favorite. I got that. Yeah. But going on what the league has told me here, right? All right. And the people I know, and again, same type of thing. Person I know, do you know anybody? This one, you've heard me say this already. I mean, this one is like undefeated. I don't know anybody that has Marvin Harrison Jr. rated above Malik Nabers on the board. Hmm. I don't. But with all those people, they all still feel like the Cardinals are going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. They just feel like that's what that group is there. The front office, they go the safe one, they'll go with the size guy, the Larry Fitzgerald Jr., all of that, right? You know, it's the name, it's Ohio State, it's all of it that goes into it. It's safe. Your public can jump onto that in a big way, right? Everybody's been telling you that he's the best receiver for 3 years. Look, we got that guy, right? So that's where I feel like the league, to Jay's point, they also feel like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going there.
Yeah.
The thing is Nabers, right? Nabers, as you know, and I've been saying for a little while here, I don't know anybody. The league views Nabers like in a very high level, very high, like superstar. Like words like Odell Beckham Jr. get thrown out to me when people talk about Malik Nabers, right? The special guys you know I like, Jamar Chase, whatever, right? That kind of guy, right? So he, to Jay's point here at five, that to me is like he said, three's kind of a turning point, five is kind of a turning point, right? I don't think the Chargers are in the let's draft a wide receiver thing. I don't think that's a Jim Harbaugh type of move, right? And I could see I think Nabers is so highly viewed by teams that Nabers could be the guy that, whoa, we need to get in front of the Giants at six who might take Nabers, right? We got to make a move now. And there might be action at five just purely for Nabers, right? Let alone maybe one of the quarterbacks. We know that too. But I think that's a real thing that's out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Trade down for the Chargers, definitely a possibility. Or perhaps taking an offensive lineman there, too, and building up that offensive line, protecting Justin Herbert. Joe Alt is plus 800 in the graphic that we just saw there to be the first non-quarterback drafted. J.C. Latham plus 600. Those are some interesting numbers on two of, you know, your number one lineman in Latham and a lot of people's
two
number
and
one in Joe Alt. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So my favorite bet of the entire draft is...
This is it.
Yeah,
this is your favorite.
Wow. This is the one.
We're
this
hearing
is,
it.
This
wow.
is the one. Yeah, I just wanted to spring it on you guys.
Thank you.
J.C. Latham is 26-1 to go fifth overall to the Chargers. That seems like a massive number when you consider that. I don't think there's anything concrete out there that says that the Chargers definitely like Joe Alt over JC Latham. Also, I think everyone is just kind of looking at the Chargers like, oh, they need to take a receiver. Because you know, right now you look at the receiver room and it doesn't look fantastic.
Right.
At the same time, like they just spent a first round pick on Quentin Johnston.
Exactly.
I understand it's a different regime now, but they still have Josh Palmer there.
Exactly.
They're going to be run heavy,
right?
And I think that
they got second round pick. I mean, they can get a receiver
deep drafted receiver.
Right.
And to your point, it would be very hardball to take an offensive lineman, and I don't think there is enough out there to justify Joe Alt being plus 400 range to go fifth, and JC Latham being 26-1. Where I do think, like yourself, there are people out there who have a higher grade on Latham.
Yeah, it's definitely closer than people think. There's definitely a bunch of teams that have Latham as the number one tackle on the board, right? You know, and I don't know, I have no insight on what the Chargers think there, but right, people that I, trust to go, it's Harbaugh. Hey, it's Greg Roman and the Baltimore crowd, right? They might like that big mauler type, the J.C. Latham type, right? And they have a left tackle, right? And Slater, and Latham plays right tackle. Alt plays left tackle, right? So I think there's a thought out there that, wait, this just works well for the – not only is he maybe their type of guy, right, but he's also just a right tackle. Like, I don't think anybody doubts that he can't play left tackle too if he's got to, right? But that would be a little bit more seamless than, hey, we drafted Joe Alt, and, hey, Joe, we're going to make you play right tackle, even though you didn't do that a ton in college, right? So there is that. But I do think that is a very close conversation. There's no doubt that they are the top two tackles on the board throughout, right? And then you start to get a little bit all over the place with the other guys that we've talked about at tackle, whether it's Fuwaga, Fashino, Mims, right? Guyton from Oklahoma. And we'll get into some of that too. But yeah, I mean, Fuwaga, for the most part around the league, is looked at as a guard, not a tackle. And Fautino, same type of thing. But there are teams that have Fautino as a tackle as well to go on there.
So that's interesting. Yeah, Alt minus 700 to be the first offensive lineman drafted, and then J.C. Latham at plus 1,000. That's a pretty big gap between two that maybe aren't that far apart when you turn on the tape. So back to wide receivers real quick, because we have Roma Dunze as the third wide receiver often in that conversation. And you listen to some people say, and they're like, they're all three really good. It just depends on what you need and what you like.
Right.
I mean, are we certain that Roma Dunze is going to be the third of the three wide receivers drafted, Chris?
You want to go first?
Well, you both looked at each other. I was
trying to be polite, but I would say yes. I would say yes. Now, where is he at? That to me is debatable.
Pick 8.5. The under right now is minus 150.
He's interesting. Hear my two cents on this, and then I want to hear what you got to say off of it. Let's just play it out. Harrison Jr. 4, yep. Right?
Neighbors, offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman at five, yep. Right? Neighbors. 6
for the Giants,
right?
Yep.
I don't think we think Tennessee or the Falcons are going receiver, right?
The Falcons can't take another skill position player, right?
3 years in a row, right?
Every single year,
right? Top 10 skill guy, They need somebody on defense at some point,
they need
right?
defensive player. They need a pass rush.
I don't think Tennessee would do it.
No, they just added Calvin Ridley and they've got DeAndre Hopkins.
Exactly, so. Right. Yeah, so I don't see that being it. So now you get to 9 to the Bears. Everybody, most mock drafts, oh my gosh, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, they were on the same flight yesterday. They're all together, right? Right? I don't think that's a slam dunk. First off, Odunze, everybody likes Odunze, right? Everybody. He's one of the safest picks of the draft in NFL people's eyes, right? Knows how to play, going to be a good pro, not sure if he's going to be a superstar, but we know he's going to be good, right? And he loves football and all that, so he's loved that. But as far as, where he belongs in the first round, I think there's some discrepancies there. Mm-hmm. I think there's some teams that look at it and go, oh, he's definitely a top 10 or 12 pick. And then I know other teams that go, no, we think he's kind of like late teens, 20s type of pick, right? But if the Bears don't take him at 9, is what I'm saying, is you kind of look at the board, right, and you go, okay, Bears at 9 don't take him. You just kind of hit quarterback row before with the Broncos, Raiders, and Vikings. I don't think any of those are going receiver, right? I don't know about the Saints. Maybe the Colts would be in that situation, but the Saints got pretty good receivers. Colts aren't bad, right? You start to look at it and go, oh, Odunze could certainly fall to the late teens if that happens. Because I could see the Bears going defense. One thing that I've been made clear is that I think, even with my draft, is that some of the defensive guys are going to go, people have gone, I think some of your defensive guys are going to go even higher than you think they're going to go, right? And that's where I feel like maybe I'm wrong about my thing of guys like Malcolm Brown maybe going higher than we think. Latu's up there higher than we think. I had him at 9, right? If I can make an amendment change to my draft right now,
yeah.
Byron Murphy, excuse me.
I just had a Cody Mock situation. Yeah.
You're like,
I
who
just,
was Malcolm Brown?
I was just like,
I don't know why.
It's not.
It was M and B and B and M, and I switched them around.
Malcolm Brown. But, he might have been a shooting guard on the Clippers in the 90s. Yeah.
But Byron Murphy.
There we go. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I have heard
the Bears could go Byron Murphy at 9.
I have heard that the Bears want to take Byron Murphy
at
9. And his price is plummeting in the market now. He's in the plus 150 range to go 9, and I've heard that he is their guy. So
I've always been saying he's definitely one of the top defensive players in the draft, and we did that. There's no doubt, right? To me, him, Latu, Dallas Turner, and Quinyon Mitchell are clearly the four best players in the draft on the defensive side of the ball, right? I had people saw my mock draft and they were like, oh, yeah, hey, Byron Murphy, hey, good, you got him. I think he might even go higher. Byron Murphy might go top 10, right? Those are things that I've been hearing, right? And I know there's this thought of like, oh, get a receiver for the Bears and, oh, my gosh, help out Caleb Williams. Well, like, what the fuck? He's got two good receivers already and an awesome tight end.
Yeah.
And they got Vilas Jones, you know, who's a good little slot guy. Like, what are we going to do, right? And like I said on Monday, you know what helps out a good quarterback? Stopping the other team to 10 points. Oh, damn, we won 13-10. I'm good. Look at that, right? So that's where – and it's a defensive head coach – right? That's one where I think that's where one of the curveballs can go as far as defense is concerned, and then maybe Odunze falling a little farther than we think is what the point I was trying to get to there.
Let's look at that. Let's look at first defensive players because you've just switched over. We do have a Brian Thomas question I want to get to as well.
Yeah, so
we'll
I didn't mean to jump all over the
place. That's okay.
There,
that's what this is. It's a draft. Yeah. It's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. So Jay, as you look at it here, Dallas Turner at plus 125 is the favorite right now. Then you got Leatu Latu, the edge out of UCLA, second, and then Byron Murphy, we're just talking about, third. They're actually pretty close together in that group there. A lot of people have been mocking forever Dallas Turner 8 to the Falcons, which would make him the first one off the board. But as you take a look at those odds, what do you think? What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I think that it seems very likely that the first 6 picks are all on offense, right? And then 7, like everyone has been putting Joe Alt to the Titans at 7, and it would make sense given they need some offensive linemen. And then you are looking at Latu, Turner, potentially at 8. The one that jumps out to me, and this is mail from our friend Connor Rogers, but Connor is very high on Quinyon Mitchell, being the first defensive player drafted. He's plus 1,400 on DraftKings. He's also minus 150 to be the first cornerback drafted, which I think is a decent bet as well. So Quinyon Mitchell, he would probably be my long shot, just because, you know, you can see everyone here is at plus money, right? No one knows. No one knows who's going to be the first guy, so why couldn't it be Quinyon Mitchell?
He's a great long shot guy. Like, I would agree with you. Quinyon Mitchell, he will be the first corner off the board. That not debatable. Not debatable. So that, as I can tell you, right? Definitely.
Declared.
He's declared will be the first corner off the board, right? Nate Wiggins and Terrion Arnold, from everything I know in football, right? They are looked at the end of the first, or I get people even texting me, do they go in the first, or you think they'll be available early in the second? I think they are viewed as that fringe guy. You know, I like Wiggins a little bit more than that, right? Because of his speed and his man-to-man skills. But I think that's a very real conversation. And I mean, I had the Eagles trading up for Quinyon Mitchell, right? But yes, I would not be shocked if there was somebody we didn't expect, even the Bears at 9, to go, we'll take Quinyon Mitchell, even though they got pretty good corners. I don't expect that to happen. But, yeah, that, the Byron Murphy thing, I think, is really real, right? Latu, there's a reason he's up there, because everybody watches Latu and goes, holy shit, he's a fucking good player, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of them had the same thoughts you and I did when we watched it, Mr. Scout guy. Is
Mr.
that like
novice film watcher guy?
Right. The glasses.
I'm watching film.
You just see.
Put the glasses
Latu
on.
Latu might be a better player right now, right? Like, and ready to go right now. The thing that I always get with Dallas Turner, right? Because I ask everybody, is they say the same name we say, Von Miller. Hmm. He's Von Miller stayed in school his senior year, and he showed everybody how awesome he was, and that's why he was the number two pick. The consensus around the league is that the guy is just too special of an athlete, and he's a good player. They still think the floor is really high, and they think, yeah, he's raw, and there's things he learned. But if he went back for the senior year, that he'd definitely be the top two or three picks of the draft next year, right? And that's where, yeah, eight, you know, he might not be the most eight, oh, oh my gosh, guy on film, right? Like, you got to have like this, but there's too many things that are like, he learns this, he does that, watch out, he could be the best sack artist in football. I do expect him to go to Atlanta at eight.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When watching film, and you just talked about corners too, you liked Nate Wiggins as your second best corner. He's fallen a little bit now. He's right around pick 26 and a half.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
Cooper DeJean, 22 and a half. Uh-huh. You see him more as a safety, yes. Although maybe that versatility appeals to some teams.
Cooper DeJean
too.
Is the other one I'm wrong about on my mock draft.
Uh-oh.
Definitely. That's the one thing I will tell you. Cooper DeJean's liked more and the NFL, then even I liked him, right? I get the sense that people think Cooper DeJean is like, can be anywhere from, you know, the low teens to the early 20s, right? He's going to be gone. Someone's going to take him. He's too good of a football player, right? He's too versatile to your point, you know, safety, nickel, and then the return game. That's the thing I keep getting told about with Cooper DeJean.
Wow.
The return game, he's got a tremendous value, and especially with the new kickoff rules, right? So that's where I think, you know, where if it was just corner or safety play, he might have been in that mid-20s range, but I think because of the return thing, it's knocked them up even a little farther than that. And I am 25 to the Green Bay Packers, I know. But I get the sense that he could be off the board before that.
What do you think, Jay? Anything on that?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And again, once we get towards the end of the first round, I'm going to defer to Chris's judgment over the market as well. Because at this point, like, you are really just firing darts. Mm. And like, what's the difference between like these guys? So, remember Kaya Elam? His draft position went from like 34 and a half to 21 and a half in like 2 hours. Like, sometimes these guys do just fall out of the sky.
Yeah, they fall out of the sky, right. Yeah. He should have been drafted at 34. The Bills shouldn't have took him when
it doesn't have worked out great for Elam.
Will the Chiefs trade up and get Brian Thomas Jr.? That is the question from Lick Smacklin' Good here. If Brian Thomas Jr. makes it to the 20s, what are the chances the Chiefs trade up? As always, love the show.
It'd be interesting. Brian Thomas Jr., it's not all over the place, this. Everybody sees the talent, right? I think everybody is like, oh, there's some things we can refine. You know, I think there's a little bit of like off the field maturity things, right? Whatever. Everybody says he's a good guy, but he's got a few off the field things. That's what everybody says to me, right? But it's not bad. He's a good kid, right? That's what I hear, right? So, and I'm not like, well, tell me exactly that off the field thing. I don't do that.
Yeah.
So that's the gist I get there. But like, the talent, everybody is, whoa. And I would say he is the biggest window, maybe, of everybody we've talked about to this point. Because I ask people, and they literally joke and laugh, and they're like, I mean, I don't know. It starts at 12 for Brian Thomas Jr.? I go, where do you think it lands? Like, about 32? I mean, yeah. Right? So, you know, he's that type of talent, but I think it's like, what, how, where, you know, do we trust that he's going to be the perfect pro? You know, I think everybody loves the ceiling, but I think everybody looks at it as, oh, there is a little bit of a low floor maybe that concerns people, and we'll see where that goes. But I think he's an interesting one here.
Yeah, it's a weird little aspect of the draft where, I mean, I think the two best quarterbacks in football are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and they both kind of need wide receivers. Right. Certainly Allen does. Yeah. I don't think they're going to go in with Khalil Shakir as their number one clear guy.
Right.
And then Mahomes, I guess it's a bit more debatable. They get Marquise Brown, but the Rashee Rice situation isn't great. Kelce is going to be on more of a pitch count. Like, I think they could certainly do with another explosive wide receiver. And obviously not the worst situation to end up in if you're Brian Thomas with Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball.
I know. So the line set by DraftKings right now for wide receivers in round one is 6.5, but the over is +300 and the under is -400. You had 5 in the first round, Chris, and so Jay, when you look at those numbers for wide receivers, six and a half. Will we get 7 wide receivers in the first round? That seems unlikely.
I just don't think we're getting 7. That's a lot. And I know -400 is kind of representing that, but I would still rather be on that side. Like, it just seems like, well, we're really going to have like 6 quarterbacks and 7 receivers go in the first round? Like, I don't think so. I think it's more likely to be 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think so too. I we know 4 are going, right? The fifth one is all debatable. It's there's this cluster of guys that are like, they're not really first rounders, but we're running out of really good players, and it's somebody's gonna get drafted in the first round, right? And guys like Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell, right? Do they come into play? The kid from South Carolina, Xavier Leggett, right? Does somebody take a like, damn, there's nobody on the board to be like, let's just go with the fucking receiver, right? Like, he'll make plays for us. That's the only thing that scares me. But I'm more with Jay in the fact that, you know, I can't imagine more than 5. I don't think so. But you know, some of these teams at the end of the first round, they get stuck. They can't trade out, whatever. Maybe they'll look at it and just go, well, let's get a receiver and do that.
I think the thing with these over-under position markets is, like, you need to know, like, how many are set in stone. So with the quarterbacks, the 4.5, what I like there is that, okay, we know 4 are definitely going in the first round, right? The 4 guys that we mentioned, and then you just need one of Penix or Nix, and then you're home with the bet.
Right.
With the wide receivers, like, yeah, it's 6.5. We probably know 4 are going, but then you need, like, 3 on
three,
top of that as opposed to 1.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I think the under is fairly
Yeah, 3
sad.
Shamrocks up your ass is a lot harder to find than 1.
And conceivably, there could be a little bit of a run, right? A couple go at the, you know, 1 goes more, and it's like 2 go, and then you're like, oh, we got to get some of the right guys.
I know.
Seems more likely that enough teams are okay waiting for the second round and be like, who falls to us? Because there are so many that are kind of close to together. Offensive linemen, it may be different here. So it's 9.5 offensive linemen drafted in the first round as the over-under. Over is -200. And the under is, so DraftKings is basically saying that 10 offensive linemen are going to be taken in the first round. Now, Chris, you had 9 in the first round. And didn't you receive some pushback on that assessment from your buddies in the league?
Well, I think I had guys like Jackson Power Johnson, right, is like end of the first round fringe type of guys.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, right? I think the discrepancy that I find a little bit is with 2 people, 3 people, really 2 people, excuse me. Everybody who loves Fuaga, right, the Oregon State kid. I don't think we have any doubt, like Latham, Alt, Fuaga, right? Mm-hmm. Fountainow is also slam dunk, right? Now, some teams like him a little bit more and, like, look at him and go, like, oh, he's a top 12 pick, right? And other teams, I think, have him a little lower than that. Some teams like him at guard, a few like him at tackle, right? But either way, it's guaranteed there for sure, right? So that's 4. Fashanu, I think, is a guarantee. Mims, I think, is a guarantee.
Ooh, Mims guaranteed.
I think so.
Barton from
Barton's
Duke.
A guarantee.
So that's 7 guarantees right now.
Right. Hold on, let me just... I think Guyton's a guarantee.
You already did Guyton.
Did Guyton?
I said him.
Okay.
And you put a finger up, I think.
I might have. I might so have to now, go back.
This,
and
is, problem. This is the problem when the over-under's 10.
Okay, so we're at 7. But...
Oh, Barton's 8?
I mean, 10 is a lot. I don't know if that is a lot.
When's the last time we had 10?
I had Rosengarten going to the 49ers, and I have no freaking clue.
Yeah.
But he would be, again, a part of that clusterfuck of guys that are put in like Jordan, Morgan, Jordan Morgan from Arizona, right, of guys that could potentially go at the end of the first, but are top 10 picks of the second round, right?
BYU
so
guy
I don't know.
Too.
The BYU kid as well, right? Yeah. Exactly. The Oregon corner center we talked about, the West Virginia center could probably be in that combo to a degree, right? But I think ultimately I'd go with the under.
Yeah, I think I'd go with the under as well. With all of these markets, when you get really deep into finding 10 guys, like you need to identify, like, all right, who are the turning point guys? At which point your bet becomes a winner or a loser? And there's probably guys like Powers Johnson and Rosengarten, and you need to have a strong opinion about whether they're going in the first round or not, and that's where you make the bet. I don't have a strong opinion on Rosengarten going in the first round or not, so I would skew under.
Yeah, you'd skew under. And here's the last thing with that, right? Like the Fontenot thing, like I told you, that'd be interesting to see exactly where he goes, right? Because I think there are some teams that look at him really high, and then other teams look at it like, hey, late teens, early 20s, we like it there, right? The other one is our Olu Fashanu, right? That one, to me, he is the most all over the place offensive lineman. Not all over the place. Here's what I mean by that. I only feel like out of everybody I talked to, there was only like one or two people that loved him. And then everybody else was like, I got some questions. I'm not sure. He's kind of a late first rounder for us. So that's another guy if I just go, I don't know where he falls. It seems like a Brian Thomas Jr., there's a little bit of a big window as far as how the league views him and where he goes. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely interesting. But I don't think there's any doubt that like Latham, Alt, and Fuwaga, right, will definitely be, I think, three of the four first linemen. I don't think there's any doubt the two tackles are gone. And then it's like Fuwaga is definitely one of the next guys to go, unless like one of those teams I'm telling you about that loves Fontenot really like jumps into the conversation there.
Right, right. All right, Nape Time
says,
big fan, Chris. My dad actually went to Morehead State with Phil.
Whoa. You guys both went there. Damn, there's two people. There we go.
Share some stories. We need the dirt. What happened? The only two, Pete says. Quick question. If Joe Alt goes before the Titans pick, could they pick Amarius Sims? He can play left tackle or right tackle, and Bill Callahan is a great offensive line coach. Amarius Mims. Sorry about that. Amarius Mims.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they were to trade down, I definitely think he is worthy of, you know, or can be that. Definitely. He can do either one. Mims, as we talked about when we did the offensive line stuff, he's ready. He's pass protector right now. Start him, boom, he's going to be, like, one of the better pass protectors in football. It's run game stuff. It's technique stuff in run game. It's proper footwork, all that. My Morehead State buddy there, they definitely could take an Amarius Mims, right? If Joe Alt, though, goes to the Chargers, the Titans are going to take Latham, right? Just so you know there at Nape Time, that's what's going to happen, right? Now, it's if they trade out of that number 7 pick, then who do they target after that? I mean, Mims would definitely work. It just depends where they go and how far down they drop.
So J.C. Latham is plus 400 to be drafted in the top 10. Do you think that happens?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Mm. The only thing that scares me, I would be very, I'd be very Latham confident guy about that. The only thing that scares me is the scenario you kind of brought up earlier, that the Chargers end up trading out of the pick,
sure,
right?
And then it's only the Titans taking
and
over.
Now it's only the Titans,
right? And they might take
Alt. And so, then that, they might take Alt, right? Yeah. That would be the only scenario.
Yeah, that's why it's plus 400.
Right, right. But if it stands at where Chargers are 5, Titans are 7, I would like that bet a lot.
What about at 10 or 12 or 15? Brock Bowers is in that range. Mm. Right now the over-under for the one tight end, the over-under on tight ends in the first round is 1. 12.5. Gosh. The under is minus 250. The over is plus 200. Jay, we'll let you get the first word on this one. Chris mocked him 15th to the Colts. What's your feeling on Brock Bowers?
So the market thinks the most likely spot for him is the Jets at 10.
Right.
And he's plus 150 to go to the Jets at 10, so still saying that, you know, more likely than not, he's not going to go there. But if there was a landing spot, it would be with the Jets. What do you think? Are you hearing anything about the Jets and Bowers?
No. I've heard the same things I probably think you have heard, right? I don't know for sure, right? There's usually where there's smoke, there's fire a little bit, right? I got to believe that they like him to a degree. Right. The question is big picture, or are we talking right now? Right. I mean, like, you know, again, are they going to roll the dice on those two tackles being healthy all year for an old quarterback off an Achilles injury who wouldn't hold the ball in the pocket very long before the Achilles injury anyways? Right. So that, I think that's where, like, everyone's wondering what the Jets are going to do. Everyone. And I don't know. I don't have any feel there. I could see them going both ways. I will say that that was one of my surprises is over the last 10, 12 days, I don't think Bowers is as viewed as quite as highly as I thought he was, right? I don't think the league has Bowers like unanimously, oh, he's a top 10 or 12 guy on the draft board.
What's their concern?
I think a little the size, right? And I think some think he's a little stiff as a route runner, right? Right.
It was that Gronk photo.
So
was it the Gronk photo?
I think
standing next to Gronk.
I think
at
those
the combine.
Are the those are the things you get into a little bit with the Brock Bowers conversation. Yep.
Okay. I think as well, if there is a team in the top 10 that's most likely to trade the pick, it's surely the Jets. Just because if they're not in love with Bowers and they have needs at multiple positions, and also just the fact that they're at 10, they're the team that comes before that 11-13 run of teams that need quarterbacks. Like if you need a quarterback, you need to jump the Vikings at 11, then the Jets are probably open for business at 10. So that's probably, in a way, maybe the hardest pick to project just because I don't know what team's going to be there.
They don't have a second-round pick either, so they'll be looking to pick one up. Yep. And you're right. Like, what if you start to feel and you go, wait, maybe we might be able to get trade down and get Bowers at 19 or something like that, right? Or, you know, trade down and we get a tackle and yet we get a second-round pick to add to another position we want, whatever there. But, it's definitely the Jets pick is an interesting one.
All right, Jay, I got two more big themes for you, and then we'll release you. I told Jay before, I was like, do you need to be anywhere? He goes, no. I was like, we'll keep you for as long as we want to keep you there. Dangerous words,
he'll learn next time.
We'll learn next time. You got to have an appointment with us. Two more things. So, in totality, defensive side of the ball. The over-under for defensive players taken in round one is 10.5. The over is minus 190. The under is plus 150. So Jay, the odds makers, at least with DraftKings, think that there will be at least 11 defenders taken in round one. Chris, that's how many you had in round one. Four edge, four DBs, three defensive tackles. It speaks to maybe these players will go a little earlier, too, because there aren't as many of them, especially the elite guys.
Exactly.
But what do you think of that, of a skewed offensive draft here with just a 10.5 players in the first round?
Yeah, I would lean to the over a little bit. I think the most interesting aspect of this is figuring out the cornerbacks and whether, you know, these guys like Terry and Arnold, Nate Wiggins, are they definitely going to go in the round one?
I think that's where my mind went right there. That was the first thing I thought of, because that's to me, like, you know, like he was saying, you know, it's how many moves have to happen to hit it or whatever there. I think Arnold and Wiggins are definitely dicey. Right, that's the one thing I've seen Arnold mocked in the middle of the first round and all this stuff. I can just tell you from everybody I know that I don't think that's happening. Like, I don't, unless there's somebody that I'm unaware of, right? But I think Wiggins and Arnold are viewed as later on in the first round. Ooh, will they be first round? If they're not, it's going to be early second.
Who would be your locks then? It would be Turner, Latu, Murphy, Quinyon,
Verse.
Cooper DeJean, now that
Cooper
you're hearing.
Cooper DeJean, right.
So there's 1, 2, 3, right. 4, 5, 6.
Right. I'm going to say Chop Robinson.
Ooh.
Even though, you know, like the league's not in love with Chop, but yet at the same time, I mean, it's 4-3 off the edge, right? He's going to go in the first. Like,
so then it really does come down to the corners with Arnold and Wiggins and Kool-Aid.
I think so. I think it really does. And I think to what you're saying too, Ahmed, is that I think where I even maybe was wrong is that I think guys like Byron Murphy are valued higher than we think, the draft pundits think, even more than I thought, maybe, right? You know, you saw mine and you're like, man, you got him going 14. That's the highest I've seen yet.
Yeah.
No, I think like what Jay said, like 9 could happen, right? I mean, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, the Falcons took Byron Murphy. That's fucking, I wouldn't be like that. I'd be like, damn, yeah, they took the best interior D lineman in the draft. Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm not going to be like shocked, right?
Yeah.
I don't expect it. But yeah, I think with those guys there, Latu, Dallas, Turner,
Johnny Newton,
Murphy. No, Newton, I think, is another one of those clusterfuck guys. End of the first round, early second, somewhere in there, but not bona fide going first round.
It'll kind of come down to, is there a run on wide receivers at the end of the first round, or is it more the defensive guys, maybe?
It could be, right, because guys like Kool-Aid and McKinstry, I think, are in that conversation too, just like Wiggins and Arnold. It's like maybe late first with the right team, but most likely early second, and we'll see how that goes.
Yep. By the way, Terry and Arnold, his over-under is 15.5.
Right.
So you like the over there.
I definitely like the over.
I definitely, I do.
Your third favorite bet.
Yes.
Now, Jay has found his third.
Just to throw it in. Just tell to see the J.C. Latham.
Tell me when you're doing the bets, because I might want to jump in with you this week.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's get involved. Let's be J.C. Latham men.
So one more for you. Maybe you'll like this one, too. So draft day trades. The over-under is 6.5. The over is plus 220. The under is minus 285. Reed Shu says, what type of betting line would you set for the amount of trades that will happen on Thursday? So the DraftKings line is 6.5. The Jay Croucher line.
Yeah, I think.
So historically, you want to know historically here? Mm-hmm. Would that help? 2019, it was 6. 2020, it was 4. 2021, it was 3. 2022, it was 9.
Jeez.
And then last year, it was 6.
Yeah. Nine. So historically, you would take the under, given that it's not too often it goes over 6.5. I think... This is a unique year just with the amount of teams that so brazenly need quarterbacks. Like, think of the Kenny Pickett year. There was one quarterback going in the first round and no one was super excited about him anyway.
Right.
This year we might have 6. And when there are just more quarterbacks around, like, everyone knows now that there is enough analytics have infiltrated the space enough that teams are largely trading up for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, you're not usually trading up to take Byron Murphy, right?
Exactly.
So just with the amount of quarterbacks, that would lend itself to more trades. So that's the angle, and I'm guessing that's why it's set at the overbacked at 6.5. But still, it's a lot of trades.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of trades. I just kind of intuitively like the under there.
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. I mean, 6 is just like, that's a number where I go, I got to see it to believe it. Yeah. I don't know. There's too many things that I think would have to fall a certain way, and this has to happen for that to happen like that. But what's scary to, and this is one where I look at it and go, I wouldn't be betting on this one, is like he's saying, the quarterback thing, and then what you're saying, the end of the first round thing, right? Mm-hmm. The Lions go, shit, we want out of here. The Ravens look at it and go, shit, we want out of here. And the 49ers go, shit, we want out of here too. And all of a sudden we look up and we go, damn, there was 4 trades, and then pick 28, 29, and 30, and all of a sudden there's 7. I mean, but yeah, that wouldn't be one I would be throwing a lot of change at.
It's going to be fascinating. We'll be in the barn. We're going to be watching the draft from.
Okay. I'll be in here with
Connor
Rogers and Matthew Berry.
We're
going to be filming clips in Studio 2.
Okay.
It'll be good.
Good. Yeah. All right. Make sure you say nice things about me.
I'm going to talk shit about you now.
Yeah. I know that.
Wait, do we have the video? Pete, do we have the video? Oh, okay.
So before we let you go, we have to.
If you're going to say it, we got to bring it.
Well, and he can't even hear it.
He can't hear it.
That's even better.
I lived it.
So now he lived it. He knows what he said.
Why is that? Why is it called unbuttoned when he buttons his top button?
I asked him that. I said, is that why you button? Is it called?
Piece?
No, I literally said to him like the first time. I think I said this to him on air when I did the show like once, I think. And I said like, is it called unbuttoned because, you know, you're so known for like buttoning the top button? He's like, no, it's just because I'm like, and I just kind of hang loose and I'm, you know, just more casual on this. I'm like, he's like, I hadn't thought about that.
So I'm going to blame Pete here. Yeah. Somehow this is Pete's fault.
This is backup producer Pete's fault because that's his main job.
So, there are only two people who have ever done up top buttons. Chris Sims and then the film director David Lynch, who walked around the top button as well. They're the only two people who do it on the planet. And his show is called Unbuttoned. It's ridiculous.
He must be confronted.
It's ridiculous. He might need to be confronted.
There's people everywhere doing top button. I'm going to start pointing them out to you.
Point them out to me because I don't see any.
I've tried to do it. It looks bad. It takes a special person to be able to pull it off. I don't know if it's
I think you need length of neck. I think height is really key.
But yeah, you got to have the right collar too, right? I mean, part of the reason why I ever started was I was like, damn, I got a long neck, and it made it look less long. That was part of the reason I did it.
That's
no joke.
Fair. Okay.
Right?
I also admitted
a little bit of a... Like, you know, anybody that knows me, I'm kind of a clean, neat freak anyway.
Okay.
So I'm just like, oh, it's buttoned up. It's perfect. I don't have to worry about it, right?
Okay. Yeah, no,
right?
That's fair.
So that's where
I'm glad
it goes.
I've got an insight. I wanted an explanation, and I got it, and it's reasonable.
My fucking mouth when I'm on here, okay?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's
Kristen doesn't want to hear that, and now she's got to deal with it.
You're right.
And tell Matthew Berry to screw up. He's been on my podcast one more time than I've been on his. That's all I know.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about hair. Matthew Berry had a severe hair disadvantage.
Right.
True.
Yeah, good. Thank you for throwing something.
Get some hair,
Barry. Jeez.
What's
your problem? Loser.
Jay,
you guys have fun.
Hopefully you're a winner on draft night with all your can't lose bets, although we always know that's You always can lose, but yes. Well, hopefully we don't on draft night. So, yes. Jay, thanks for spending an hour of your day with us here.
No, seriously. Thanks, man.
Thanks for all this fun.
Tell Connor and Matthew Berry we said hi, and thanks for the banter. We always actually do appreciate it.
Yep. So as Jay picks up his stuff, we will tell you that DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA as well, Chris.
Wow. And I'm trying to look at where we are. Oh,
and
there we
the
go.
Playoffs.
And during the playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly.
Download the app. Use the promo code UNBUTTONED when you sign up.
DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Now, we should have done that with Jay because what would it have sounded like?
I didn't. That's why I wasn't even on my spot, right?
Yeah, you know, like,
and then I lost it because it was early on in the draft, early on in our rundown, and then I know I probably talked too much, and we had to move it somewhere
so,
else.
We got how much time we got here? About 20 minutes maybe so, Pete or so? Okay, so we got AMA. We got a lot of questions from the homies. I say we just keep the Jay Croucher chair here, like in memoriam.
Why like, not? Right? Yeah, right.
The microphone right there, it's just like...
One of the best guests we ever had.
One of the best... Oh, no, Matt's taking it out. He's like, enough of that. So now we move together.
Oh,
so Matt
gosh.
Is here, which I thought maybe Morgan would come up, but
right.
It's her birthday today, by the way.
Oh,
Morgan's
she can't work
birthday,
on a birthday.
Happy birthday!
She can't roll chairs out of the
so
way.
So maybe
on
Matt
birthday?
Just said, "I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. Just relax
Damn.
Here and
now
watch
I'll
the
I'll tell
show.
You, these millennials, they're
Enjoy
high
the
maintenance.
Show.
Let me tell you.
All right, I'm going to keep this space here between us, though, until Matt pulls me
yeah.
closer.
Yes.
So the first one's about the Patriots here.
Right.
This is from JT Rochelieu. Says, if Daniels goes at 2, would you be against New England picking May at 3 and sitting him behind Jacoby Brissett for a year? Give him time to develop and hopefully improve the offense for him next year.
I mean, yes, right? Yeah, I'm not a fan of New England picking him at 3. Let me just say that right off the bat, right? You know, that to me is too high. Taking a guy at 3 that you look at to go, hey, they've even said he needs work. There's things he needs to work on. Gerard Mayo said it at the NFL owners meeting, right? So I'm not in love with that at 3. But the thought JT Rochelieu is like, hey, to have him behind Brissett and all that, learn, right, not have to play, work on some of the mechanical things. I think that's the thing that would be perfect, you know, for Drake May. And that's where I can see New England and both Minnesota liking Drake May because they go, wait, we got guys that we know can play right now. Like, we don't have to have him play, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Sam Darnold, I think Minnesota goes, hey, if we got to play Sam Darnold this year, we'll be okay, right? And I feel like New England is certainly willing to play Jacoby Brissett while somebody develops on the back end there. But, no, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still not in love with taking Drake May at number 3.
Ben Money Morris wants to get crazy.
Yeah.
How would you feel about a Justin Herbert trade to the Vikings for 3 or 4 first-round picks, and then Jim Harbaugh gets his boy J.J. McCarthy?
Wow. I mean, that would be a bold move, right? It would take all 4 of those first-round picks to do that. Right. I mean, that's what it was. And, you know, Minnesota, I don't think they're in that part of their organizational history right now where they're so good that they can just trade that away.
Yeah.
Right. You know, for one quarterback or whatever else. Now, I don't think that's going to be happening. And I think that the big thing is like, hey, it's a fun talking thing. And I'm sure he'd love J.J. McCarthy, but he's not going to love J.J. McCarthy as much as he loves Justin Herbert already. Yeah. I mean, the guy's been waxing poetically about Justin Herbert.
He really has.
It's the reason he was trying to get the Chargers job 2 years ago, everybody. That is a known fact. Sean Payton and Harbaugh tried to work behind the scenes to get that Chargers job because of Justin Herbert. Right.
Your Giants.
Yeah.
Big bad 0-16.
Whoa.
I know the Giants are probably a shoo-in for wide receivers.
I hope so.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if they're a shoo-in.
But would you be mad if they took Big Joe Alt? Move Evan Neal to guard, beef up the line, get a wide receiver in the top of round 2. What's a better combo in the first 2 rounds? Joe Alt and Jalen Polk or Malik Nabers and Jordan Morgan?
That's a valid question. It really is. You know, the Evan Neal thing is the question, right? You know, do you feel like he could be a big-time tackle or is he going to be better at guard, right? I can understand those thoughts definitely. Year 3 is usually the year that the tackles turn it around. That's where I want to go, no, let's just keep him there and let's see it, right? You know, their left tackle, Thomas, was a bust until year 3. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, he's the best tackle in football now, okay? So that's where I just be, let's see there. I think Nabers to me is special, like you've heard me say. So I'd be more in the let's go Nabers and Jordan Morgan. And Jordan Morgan, you heard me say, I think can play guard, right? I mean, I think there's tackle there, but I do think he is, like, for a team that wants an athletic guard, yeah, he'll fit that, certainly. Yeah, I think I'd be more in line of the neighbors Jordan Morgan type of thing for the Giants overall.
There's some questions from Cam Ventura 617 about Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, big fan of your work.
Right.
I love Penix, especially for the intangibles, but he does have some big misses at times. Why do you, along with many other former quarterbacks, think his mechanical issues will be easier to fix than Mays?
Because, like, first off, there's so many on-target throws. There's not nearly the misses as Drake May, right? I mean, Drake May, it's everywhere, and it's off, like, off the radar at times.
Drake
right?
May is like, this question's not even about me.
Like, right? So, but, there, yeah, you know, like, again, like you heard me say, even completions with Drake May sometimes can be like, damn, I know that was complete, but the guy had a slide in the ground to catch it, and he's wide open, right? There's all of that. That doesn't go on with Michael Penix, let alone Michael Penix, like, yards, you know, through air type of completions. It's all down the field type of throws. His mechanics are, one, you see enough of the good mechanics all the time, and you see so many high-quality, unbelievable throws, right? So that's where there's going to be a little bit more leeway or like, oh, okay, he missed this throw here. Okay, yeah, he throws the ball 43 times a game, and 37 of them are 20 yards plus down the field, right? So there's that. And then his mechanics, what they are, like the issues – are like, oh, he stands on his back leg or throws the ball leaning back on his back leg too much. He doesn't get the proper weight transfer. Those are, when you talk about easy fixes for quarterbacks and doing that, that's an easy fix, right? Drake May, the way he takes the ball away, the way the throw is segmented at times, the way the front shoulder never moves at times, the way that the feet get so close together, the way that he lets his front leg lock out and straighten out, right? Those are a number of things that I just go, ooh, that's going to take work, like work to fix.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of the league would probably look at it and go, no, I think Michael Penix's issues are more fixable maybe than Drake May's, right?
Maybe he'll go to the Minnesota Vikings. I wouldn't like that as a Lions fan. The Packers have a lot of draft picks. I don't like that as a Lions fan. They have 11 picks. They have 5 in the first 3 rounds. Cheese Curd 19 says the Packers have many draft picks. Is there anyone they or you would trade up for? So they are 25th in the first round. They got 2 second rounders, 2 third rounders.
Right. I mean, again, we like, I mean, the Packers roster, right, is pretty damn good. I think that's the first thing that, you know, I know just going through the mock draft, free agency through the year, it's like, wow, there's not a lot of needs, right? You know, I mean,
it's almost like they're in a good spot. They can just wait and see whatever falls to them.
I feel like they could, right? With being offensive lineman, maybe that they would maybe go, hey, we'd
really
like to trade up a few spots to get him, right? One of the tackles. Okay, I could maybe see that, right? Maybe there's a linebacker they really like, right? And they're going, wait, there's like one position on our team that we can maybe use just like a little bit more of or something like that. Like maybe in the second round, right? Like oh, they're sitting there in the second round and they're going, wait, you know, we're worried about, you know, we're the 25th pick of the I got it right here in front of me. They are in the second round at 88. Right? And nowhere else. But maybe they're sitting there looking for a linebacker. They're worried about, oh, this team needs a linebacker too, right? Let's trade up and get the kid from Texas A&M. Let's get an athlete there like that, right? That's kind of the scenario I look at. But I don't know if I see anything else that would be glaring with them. I mean, here, let's like real quick. I mean, we've talked about corner, maybe the same type of thought. All right, corner, like second round. Maybe they're sitting there and they're going like, wait, Nate Wiggins is still on the board at 40? Let's go get him, right? Something like that, okay? But when you talk about it, again, we have 2 first-round corners on the football team. We got Xavier McKinney at safety, right? D lineman, I mean, it's Kenny Clark. And let's not forget Devontae Wyatt from 3 first rounds ago is still there and was better last year, right? They got a bunch of D tackles. They got the kid from Iowa they drafted in the first round last year, Lucas Van Ness. They just paid Rashawn Gary. They got Preston Smith. They got receivers. The tight ends are good. They got Josh Jacobs at running back. The O-line is better than people think, right? So, I mean, just sitting that right there, you go, you're right, Chris. What do they really need that's that desperate? Like, There's nothing. You know, linebacker is the only one I can look at to where Quay Walker hasn't been as good as they thought he was going to be to this point, the middle linebacker. They lost, you know, the other linebacker to the 49ers in free agency, Campbell. Right. And I could see that being it. But I don't think those are first-round move unless it's the tackle conversation.
It's a good roster.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Super Bowl or bust expectations on them because
that's what your Lions got on.
Hopefully puts some pressure on them. Okay. Dom J. Romero says, what happens if the Broncos draft Bo Nix and everyone in the locker room sees Zach Wilson is much more talented?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're going to, like, no matter who they draft, they're going to go, whoa, Zach Wilson's got talent. Holy shit, he's fast as hell. And they're going to go, holy shit, he's got a bazooka for a right arm. Not a laser, it's a bazooka, right? I mean, again, those are the type of things you hear out of the Jets all the time, right? I know Aaron Rodgers has told people that, right? I think I said that to you on the podcast a few weeks ago. Like, his arm is as good as anybody he's ever seen, right? So that's going to happen in Denver to a degree no matter what. The thing with Zach Wilson is, can he play quarterback, right? Yeah. And a guy like Bo Nix can play quarterback, right? Let alone his arm is better than people think. So it's not going to be like blown out of the water. And his running is going to challenge Zach Wilson too. I mean, I would bet Bo Nix is a high 4.5-ish, low 4.6 type of athlete, right? I think he could rival a Michael Penix in a race, certainly, right, who ran 4.5 at his pro day. So, you know, that's going to be there to a degree no matter what. But Zach Wilson's there to be the third stringer. That's what he's there for, to hopefully maybe be the second stringer next year after Jarrett Stidham leaves, and then maybe we got something after that. But I hear you. You know, that's always something I bring up, right? You know, with these conversations of, like, I brought that up with, I think it was, you know, was it not, maybe not Bryce Young. Was it Bryce Young? It might have been with the Panthers that year. No, it wasn't that. It was another one. But I was like, yeah, you got to be careful about, hey, this guy's a top pick of the draft and we're bringing him in. And everyone's going to go, whoa, he's not as good as the guy that, you know, was here already. Who was,
was that just last year?
A top pick a few years ago.
Yeah.
No, there was one I'm missing. But either way. Yeah, I don't think that's going to affect things at all.
It's not like
Sean
he has
Payton's
a big reputation anymore as being a quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly right.
Israel DMS7 does want to know, though, what are your final reflections on Zach Wilson from where you had him rated pre-draft to now that he has been traded? So this is your final reflection.
Yeah, final reflection.
Know that this is the last time you can talk about it. And I will say, before you answer this, and you know me, I'm the number one Chris Sims stan. You know, I will support you to the death.
Thank you.
Even if you say that Connor Rogers has more style than I have, I still defend you. I was thinking about this the other day. The way people talk about this is as if you had a guy that was like third round quarterback.
Yeah, right. Out of nowhere.
Like, everyone had him as the number two overall prospect in the draft. Like, everyone else. You just happen to have him as a guy that you liked a little bit better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
So the fact that everyone asked, like, how did you miss so bad? Everyone missed on Zach Wilson. And the crazy thing now is that everyone was wrong because he was not worth the number two overall pick. He was worth a sixth round draft pick. It's just like how crazy it is here. Yeah, Pete says, how dare you misrank the most disappointing draft class in NFL history?
Well, that's what was weird about that class, right? That's where I think this class is better, because all these guys can play quarterback. That year it was a bunch of like, oh, whoa, he's really talented in this area, but I got six other questions in another areas, right? Right. That's why I didn't like Justin Fields and Trey Lance, right? Mm-hmm. With Wilson, yeah, I got too enamored with the arm, right? I think I got a little bit, I should have been more picky with location of football. He was protected pretty well there in BYU. It was a pretty good offense, and it was made easy for him a lot. And I think that I should have probably taken into account some of the immature issues you heard about in college as well, right? So, yeah, I fell in love with some of those things while also not, like, just being blown away by Trevor Lawrence and what I saw, right? So that's what got me to that point.
But think about this. Someone had the gall to have the number two guy as the number one guy. And
I know.
That's just like...
I know. That's part of it. It's so be it, and I'll deal with that. But, you know, with the Zach Wilson, too, what I would add to that, of course, is, you know, he was put in a tough spot, as we know, Yeah. I mean, as I always say, when you're, you know, around shit and it's all around you and everything, you're going to start to smell like shit and it's going to get on you too. And that's he wasn't exactly raised in the most quarterback conducive environment in the history of football too. And that hurt. So you add the raw, immature pressure in New York, you know, first time offensive coordinator, first time head coach, and they don't bring him along the wrong way. And, you know, I think it all just came to a pinnacle there where it was, like, just total dysfunction and he lost his way. Yeah. Hopefully a guy like Sean Payton can get him straight. We'll see.
Unless Bo Nix goes there, and you like Bo Nix, and then it would cause controversy. So we'll have to see about that. A couple fun ones here. Dan Solis says, how did you celebrate the holiday? It was just April 20th.
Yes.
Any good stories of Big Phil catching you, you know, celebrating growing up?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, when I was growing up, I don't think I really celebrated 420. I was an occasional, right, smoker in high school, like once in a while.
Did your dad know?
I don't think so, really. He got a little of a clue in college. Okay. Like, I came home, I think, my junior year, and I think he started to figure it out. And then I remember one night I had a friend from Texas over, right? It was like the summertime. And I thought my dad had gone to bed or whatever, right? I was still in, like, hide-it mode from dad, right? So we go in the back patio, and, of course, I start to smoke. And now, you know, it's like I don't smoke that much at this point. My eyes couldn't be redder and more, you know, squinty-eyed and everything like that. And he came back down. And he saw us in the back patio. He didn't know we were smoking because we were done at that point. We had already done smoking. But he's like, hey, Christopher, come in here. I just want to talk to you something. And I walked in, and he was like, you've been smoking that reefer, you know, and he got all mad. And I was like, I knew I was in trouble. You've been smoking that reefer, man, your eyes are bloodshot, man, what are you doing with that shit? Right. And he'd get all over me, right.
Yeah.
Get all over me. And, you know, he'd have times of saying things here and there, whatever. Then, you know, I got in the NFL and I can remember one time coming home summer, same type of thing. Right. Got a chance, like a few weeks off. And it's like, oh, okay, it's the summer. I don't have to be back to training camp for like 3-4 weeks, right? And I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, go back here and smoke a joint, right? And, you know, and now I'm like, I'm a grown man. Fuck my dad, no matter what he
exactly.
says. Right? But he doesn't know I have that in my mind yet. So I come back in, and he's like, holy, Chris, are you out there smoking reefer again? What about your NFL drug test? That's what he said. I was like, Dad, I just got tested a few weeks ago. Relax. Like, it'll be okay. So those are some of them.
Yeah, right? And now he's like, well, I guess it's worked out.
I guess he's become
a reputable human in this world.
Yeah.
I've got one that I saved here. I should have sent it to the group. I want to hear how you answer this one.
Okay.
Do we have the bottom of the draft here in Gabby back there? And do we have like the last few picks of the draft that we can throw here? Because this was from Scarecrow Boat.
Okay.
And he goes, here's a fun one for you, Chris. Pretend the draft order was reversed. Who would be the first five picks off the board?
Oh.
So imagine, like, for whatever reason, they go, hey, we're going to do this one time only. The 32nd pick is the first pick. No trades. Chiefs, 49ers, Ravens, Lions, Bills. If for whatever reason it was like a snake draft and they screwed it up
yeah.
in this first round. Yeah, Chiefs first. So Chiefs number one pick. They're not taking a quarterback.
It could be Neighbors.
Malik Neighbors. Like, go with who you would want to see there. Malik Neighbors.
I feel like it'd be a Neighbors pick.
All right, so then Kyle's got the next pick.
Gosh.
Would he go wide receiver as well? Yeah, he'd probably go wide receiver too, right?
That's what I'm thinking about. I'm going, damn, you know, the receivers, I got issues there. You know, O-line, he could go there. He might be a guy that goes like, well, I'll take J.C. Latham.
Okay.
Right, and get back into that conversation.
Let's do that. You want to do that?
Okay,
J.C. Latham for the 49ers. Ravens, ooh. Oof. What do they need? They could go Marvin Harrison. Someone's going to take Marvin Harrison here pretty quick.
I'm just trying to think. Yeah, because I like... Yeah, it is kind of cool.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah, it is.
Although, at some point...
Because these teams have a lot of the basic needs filled, so it's like, really, they can literally just go...
No, they can't trade
Or they
trade
can literally
no,
just go, like,
Pete.
I'm
no
taking
trades.
The absolute best player
well,
available.
Well, Caleb Williams. Right. Wait, would the 49ers not take Caleb Williams?
I don't know.
Oh, that's...
I'm not trying to let you get into that controversy. yeah, I know. Right.
I'm just trying to get to my Lions here.
Yeah, would they take Caleb Williams?
They probably would.
I was trying to leave quarterbacks out of this conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That would be interesting. Ravens, like, Damn, I feel like the tackle or corner thing or pass rusher could happen there. Like, I feel like you guys with pass rusher might be the thing,
I think
right?
so, too. If Dallas Turner or Latu
yeah, like that, I think you guys might go that way, right? The Bills, they might be the team that goes receiver for sure, like with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? So we haven't hit on the Ravens are the tough
one. The Ravens,
Ravens are the tough one because the Ravens definitely got some offensive line needs, right? They got some corner needs. Humphrey's getting up there, right? They don't have Marcus Peters. So there's the little of that.
Quinyon Mitchell,
right? And then pass rusher. You know, none of those Adafi away from Penn State hasn't come through, right? They lost Jadeveon Clowney, right? They've yet to kind of hit on that. Since we lost Suggs, Za'Darius Smith, and Preston Smith, right? Matt Judon.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been able to replace those pass rushers. So, yeah, that's a fun little exercise,
Isn't it? Scarecrow Boat. Thank you for that. All these defensive players are like, God dang it. I just flipped the first round, I'd be number one overall.
These
top
damn
five.
Quarterbacks.
Isn't that crazy? I do think Caleb would go somewhere in there.
Probably.
I think it would happen.
I mean, you know me. I'd be on the phone with my friend Kyle. I'd be like, are you fucking serious? You better take Caleb Williams. Are you kidding
me? This is the last thing we need. All right, two more. Author Blaylock says, if Drake May goes before Jaden Daniels, will you unbutton the number of buttons on your shirt that coincide with where he is drafted? i.e., if he is second, two buttons down.
Okay.
Will you do that? Will you take
if
that
Drake
bet?
May goes before Jaden Daniels.
Correct.
Right. Yes, I will. I will. And let me see. Where are you at here? Because I love Zard, but I need something in return.
That's true.
Right? And my return will be the same thing. That if that doesn't happen, that he's got to send in a photo with the top button button. You got to have top button
Author
swag.
Author Baylock, you have to send a photo of you buttoned all the way up.
All the way up. I'll go two down for you if that happens, or wherever he gets picked, I guess. Damn, if he gets picked far down, I could be on here with no shirt, just letting it hang out.
No. So, I think you're going to win that one because Jaden's going to go
two.
Second. He's going to go second. Right. So I think you're going to win that one. But I would like to see Author Baylock buttoned up. Let's see if you can pull off the look. Let's see if you have a long neck, too.
Let's see if you do. Yeah.
Luke Eagles Fly, we end with this. Are you doing a top 10 draft predictor again? So last year you said if anyone can predict the first 10 picks correctly, you're going to give them what? Like you sent out some money last year, didn't you?
I don't think I actually have yet.
We never got the contact info.
He never got it, right?
We blocked him.
He didn't want the money. He was so rich. He's like, fuck your money, Sims. I don't need it.
He's like, actually, it would cause me more problems for tax purposes. It's not enough.
We're a little late now. I feel like it'd be a little hard, right?
Oh, Pete says he'll do it.
We are doing it.
Pete says he'll do
it. Well, Pete, I didn't want to just throw it out. Pete's talking. I was like, I didn't want to make your life harder, Pete. I wasn't just going to throw it out there.
So Pete will do it. So you were trying to be nice to Pete, but he's like, I don't need you to be nice to me. I want to work.
All right.
So what we'll do
send
is
send as many as possible and make Pete's life miserable, everybody.
So what? How are you going to do this? You put it in Chris's X or his
Instagram.
There's a poll. You put your names in there, and whoever gets the most right in a row until it's broken gets like Chris's what?
I'll give him money. What did I offer last year?
$100, I think.
Yeah.
$100.
All right. No, well, the winner either, $100, right?
$100. That's a good deal. Right. Yeah.
You know, and if you get all 10 right, then I'll think of a bonus, right? I'll send you a Phil Sims autographed football.
Yeah. You'll be doing all of our mock drafting next year if that's your bonus.
Yeah, right.
If you get all 10 right.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
That was it. Hey, thanks to Jay Croucher.
Thanks to you for showing up.
Thank you.
Thank you for picking us
over
the Oregon Ducks
eye.
Today. Thanks. Thanks.
It was actually
Oregon
fun to
over
be out
us
there.
Monday. I mean, I don't know.
I skipped out on one pod. I was like, I can't skip out on both pods before the barn. And I am looking forward to the barn coming up.
That's right, everybody. Be ready. I hope everybody enjoyed the pod today. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to Jay Croucher. But more importantly, subscribe, rate, and review. And make sure you watch me and Ahmed from the oldest barn in Greenwich, Connecticut. Oh. That's right. There's great history there. We will be watching the draft. I will be doing a little drinky, drinky, smoky, smoky. Ahmed might do a little sippy, 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 sippy.
I'll do a little sippy, sippy.
Yeah, a little sippy, sippy. All right. So we got it all going. We're going to have fun. You're going to see every breakdown, reaction, every pick, first round, Thursday, barn, right?
Be our there. Instant reaction.
Be square.
Taped. It won't be live, but you'll get
live
to look
to tape.
Which is better that way because then we just cut out all the crap
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need the stuff like, in between.
You just get all of the picks
the
in
heavy
a row.
Hitting stuff.
Exactly.
We will get to a little fun and why this makes sense and how this will work for this football team. All right, everybody, you know where to find us. Find us tomorrow. Okay, we will be in the barn. NBCSports.com/NFL Draft.
Yeah, happy
and don't
hour.
Forget about
PFT.
Happy Hour.
Yep.
Yep, with Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher and our man Connor Rogers. And then, of course, Florio, who doesn't like the draft, will be doing draft videos. And I think we're going to play that tomorrow on the show. So
good.
He's going to love that. It's going to set him off.
It'll
set him off, right? He's had a few times lately where he's gotten set off, and he yells at me, and he's, like, mad.
During the show.
This will be one of them here.
Good.
He's like, yo, fuck you. I don't know about this draft.
He lets it fly now, too. Like, you guys both just dropping F-bombs all the time.
All right, everybody. Be good. See you. Draft Thursday, tomorrow. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.